We were in a series, and we are in a series, that we call Keep Expecting. And we've been in that series for some time, but let's go ahead, and we're reconnecting with that. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11:1, or it's on your sheet there, Hebrews 11:1. Praise God. Hebrews 11:1. Everybody there? It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith, now faith, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm going to recap a little bit. It's been a few weeks, and just to get us all on the same page, some of the things we've covered, we can't possibly cover all these things again, and we've spent good amounts of time on these different parts, but we're going to recap some of the things we've said about some of these words here. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith is confident expectation, or it means to be confident, to be persuaded. And that word substance means something that stands under. So it means a standing under, that which stands or is set under or a foundation. So faith is a confident, it's persuasion, it's assurance, it's confidence. The word substance means something that's set under. And then the word hope, like we've spent a lot of time, and that's one of the main things we're spending time on. Hope is to expect. The word hope, where do I have it here? It's to expect or confide, it's expectation, confidence, to anticipate. So hope here is not like we use it in our current day. So when people say hope, like if you say, you know, I sure hope it's going to rain tomorrow. What do you mean? What does that mean? What's another word you could substitute for hope when you're using it like that? Wish. I wish it would rain. Sure hope so. But that's not what the Bible word means here. It means that you're anticipating it, that you're expecting it, that you're confidently expecting. That's not the way we use it. When you say, "I hope it rains tomorrow," you're not saying, "I'm expecting, I'm confident, it's going to," right? It's different. So we spent a good amount of time on that, and I encourage you, if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it. We spent a good amount of time, we spent a whole service going through different parts of the New Testament where you see this over and over. It will help you if you go, when you read, if you see hope, if you'll replace it when you're reading it with expect, it'll help you. It'll help your understanding. When we talk about the blessed hope, we're not talking about the blessed, "I wish Jesus is coming back." It's not. We're expecting it. We're confident. If you don't believe it, if you don't expect it, then you have a problem. I mean, if we don't believe that he's going to do what he said he's going to do and expect it, Christians believe. Believers believe. So it's not a wish. It's expecting. So when you look at this sentence, it's saying faith is the substance of things hoped for. So the substance of things expected, that word substance means a setting under, or basically like a foundation. So faith is the foundation for things expected. Faith, or confident belief, persuasion, believing, assurance, is the setting under or the foundation for things expected. So what does that mean? We expect something because we believe something. So you expect something. Faith is the foundation for your expectation. Faith is the reason why you expect. You believe something's true, therefore you expect something. You believe the Word of God when it says that Jesus is going to come back, so you expect Him to come back. You believe that the Bible says that to be separated from the body is to be present with the Lord, so you expect, so you don't fear death. When you expect that when you die, next thing you know you're going to be in the presence of Jesus. You might see your body. You know, I've heard people, they see their body down there and they're starting to go up. They're like, what's happening? Wait, that's my body. That's me, but I'm going up. And they realize, wait a minute, I just died. It's just like a hand slipping out of a glove. Your spirit is what animates your body. Without your spirit, your body's dead. All this is the earth suit that we get around in. It's just the vehicle we get around in here, but it's not us. When we leave it, it's done. We call it's dead. But you're alive. You're more alive than you've probably ever felt at that point. But we expect certain things. We expect what the Word says if we believe it. If we have faith in God's Word, then we're going to expect certain things. And that's what we've spent time on. Look at Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Hebrews 11:1 in the God's Word translation says, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Faith, that makes it very clear what these words are meaning. Faith assures us of things that we're expecting. Faith is the reason we expect. If you don't have faith, you won't have expectation. If you're not expecting anything, you don't believe something. So people say, well, I believe I'm healed, but they're not expecting anything to change. That means you don't believe. Faith will cause you to expect something to change. You know, we used this illustration before, but we'll repeat it here. A lady that's with child is said to be expecting. She's anticipating, right? Looking forward. She's not saying, well, I'll always be like this. No, once the process starts, she's expecting at some point she's going to give birth to a new baby. Right? You're expecting. Why? She believes. She's fully persuaded that this is going to happen. Not maybe. Notice it doesn't matter how she feels a certain day. She believes this is going to happen. Right? And so we've spent time on that. Let's turn, we don't have to turn, we're right there. So we started, last week we went in a little bit further into Hebrews. One thing I want to, before, as we're going on then, let's read the rest of this verse. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So it's the reason we expect, and it's the evidence of things that we don't see. And if you're believing, you're expecting something, but you can't see it. Well, you can't see it. How do you know it's real? Because you have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's also the evidence of things not seen. Look again in the Amplified, because this is the part I want to focus on now, and we started last time. Look in the Amplified again and focus on the last part. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being proof of things we do not see. Faith is the proof of things we don't see. And the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith causes you to believe and to be assured of something you have no natural sense knowledge of. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. You can't hear it. You can't smell it. Can't hear it. But you believe because you expect it. You're assured because of faith. Look at the God's Word translation. It says, faith assures us of the things we expect, and it convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. If we believe heaven's a real place, but we can't see it, how many of you believe Jesus is real? God is real? Now, I've never seen Jesus. Now, maybe you have, but I haven't. I know some people have. But I've never seen him. I've never seen God, the Father. But I believe he's real. Just as real as the chair you're sitting on. More real. Because by his word, all these things were created, and then men created these things. The worlds were created by the word of his power, but this chair, this was manufactured somewhere by men. But I believe with all my being that there's a God, that there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell because the Bible says so. There, I believe there is a devil. We don't have to be afraid of the devil, but he's real. The Bible says so. I believe there are angels. I believe there are angels in this room right now. The Bible says they are ministering spirits sent to minister for, not to, for us. So there are angels in this room right now. You say, what do they look like? Well, we've seen accounts of them in the Bible and accounts I've heard, you know, people like Brother Hagin talk about it. You know, he was talking to one vision, he was talking to Jesus, and he said there's this big dude next to him, next to Jesus. He says probably 8 foot tall, 8-9 foot tall. And he kept looking over at him and looking back at Jesus. He said, who is that? He said, that's your angel. And, you know, the Bible says that the angels of them, that where we get the guardian angel, I mean, their angels are always before me. It says that the Bible talks, you know, alludes to the fact that we have angels. Why would you lose it just because you grew up? They're here. There are angels in this room right now. You just can't see them. Well, why would you think that? Because the Bible tells us. But you can't see them. I can't feel them. You know what they do? They take what, if we speak the word of God, they're able to work with that, and they're able to make it, they work to make that come to pass. They can't do much if we speak a contrary to the word. They can't do anything with that. I'm sure they are really frustrated some days. Because we're saying everything but the word, and they're going, man, I can't do anything with that. But you give me something to work with here. You just imagine them, big guys just standing there. Would you say something I can work with? I can't do anything with that. It's also kind of, you know, interesting to think they hear us. They hear what we say when we're at home. You think nobody else is around? Your angel's there. I mean, God is, don't get me wrong, but, you know, they're in the room. All the stuff they see, they must just go, oh my gosh, would you just believe God? Just, okay, you can throw a temper tantrum. All right, I'm going to go stand over here. I'll go fly over here, whatever. But they're real. They're real. How do you know? The Bible says so. I don't have to see him. I don't have to see heaven to know it's a real place. Just more real than anything right here. We're going to walk into heaven, and we're going to see people. And it's going to be just as real as you looking at me right now, looking at each other. We're going to see people that we haven't seen that have already gone to be with the Lord. And they'll look better than last time we saw them. I mean, every account I've heard, when they talk about like the age, I mean, people look good. They look like they're in their prime. But it's real. Right now, there are people, you know, like there are people in, you know, Orlando right now, and there are people in Chicago, and there are people in, you know, Europe, and there are people in India, people in China, you know, they're sleeping or just getting up for the day or whatever right now. Just because we can't see them, they're going about their business, and they're real. Well, right now, in heaven, they're going about their business, and we're just not there with them. It's just another place, another dimension. We can't see it, but they're there. In the presence of Almighty God. How do you know? The Bible tells us so. The Bible says there is a great cloud of witnesses. How do we know that? Faith convinces us, what does it say? It convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. It's a sorry state to just believe what you can see. That's a very low form of existence. Just to believe only what you can see. Because you know why? We were created to walk by faith. We're created to trust God. We have something on the inside of us, and you can see it in just natural human. People want to believe something. Is it not true? If they're not going to believe God, which is what we were created to do, is to trust Him, to walk with Him, that if He says something, we say, okay, if you said it, I'm going, I believe you. I can't see it, can't feel it, but we're created to believe Him. But if we're not going to believe Him, that there's still something in us that wants to believe something. That's why you have all these causes all over the world. Because people want to be part of something bigger than themselves, and they want to believe. Why? We're created to believe. We're created to be. We are beings that were created to walk in faith. And we will be frustrated when we don't. We're going to be frustrated when we just try to walk by sense knowledge. Because that there is a higher level, a higher plane that we're supposed to be walking on, and it is called trusting God. It is not a bad thing to tell your children when you tell them to do something and they say why, and you say, because I said so, is a valid answer in 2016. Will always be a valid answer. Why? In this day and age, people are like, well, you got to give them reasons. We just have to reason with them. That's incorrect. We as parents, and what you see this generation that's coming up, wants to always know, well, why should I do that? As if you have to reason with them and tell them. We're supposed to be training them up to have a relationship with God. And God will tell you, do this. And He won't give you a reason why, and He won't show you the picture of what's going to happen exactly, and He's going to expect you to do it. And if we're going to train up our children and our grandchildren to walk with God, then us telling them, you need to do this, I'm not saying as they grow older we don't talk to them, we don't give them the why about some things, but it's as they can understand. They ought to be trained that if mom and dad said it, that's good enough for me because they love me, because they want to see me do well, and okay, I may not understand everything, but at your word, I'll do it. Because God, that's where we want to be with God, that we trust Him, and if He said something, okay. All right, that's what I'm going to do what you said. I can't see. I can't feel, I can't touch, I can't hear, but you said it, so I believe it. We're created to operate this way. You guys, when we stepped out to move out to Andover 10 years ago, I had never laid eyes on any of you except my mother-in-law. Not a one of you. And all the people that we know and have seen. And all the people that are coming. We don't know them. We didn't know you. Actually, we did walk in this very building on the trip that we came out here in the middle of January in 2006. We actually were in this very building. We walked down the hall that used to be right there, and we looked into this space that used to be right here because it was a gymboree. So we did walk here. I saw this place. And then we ended up renting here. But there was something on the inside of us. There was an excitement when we came out here. Then when I came out back here in the middle of May to come and rent a house and to look around as I was driving around with the realtor in the car, there was such an excitement about coming out here. Other than the time in January, never been out here. Don't know a single person out here besides the lady, the realtor that I'm talking to. Don't really know her at all. I've never seen, any of this area other than what I was seeing at that time in the previous trip. I don't know per se what any of the people that are going to come, but there's an excitement and a sense of faith because we believe God told us to come out here, and so there is a belief that things are going to happen when I have zero in the natural of to any assurance. Zero assurance. No assurance will ever see a single person that would come to a church that we would start. But we are created to operate that way, that at His Word and by faith we expect, that convinces us of things we don't see. Now you can look back and even you sitting here, we could say, well, of course, so and so. No, there was nothing. This is just the way faith is. And I'm telling you right now, all the people that will continue to come, because this thing is just getting started. It's just, and God spoke to us like that. We were geared. When you can be in different gears, when you're in, driving a car, you don't try to run long term in first gear. First gear is to get you going. But then you got to shift. You just keep revving to it. You eventually, you're just settling in and you're in for the 100, 200 miles, 300 miles, whatever your gas tank will let you go. I mean, when we were starting this thing, we were geared that as long as it took, we weren't geared to just rev right up and try to get a bunch of stuff going and then peak there. We were geared to go slowly and build line upon line, and that over time, things were going to increase. And so I'm just witnessing to you right now. We have it in our heart, and at this expectancy in our heart of things that are going to continue to come, all the people that you don't see that are going to continue to come, and you see more and more, you will look around and say, yeah, all these people, and you don't see them right now, but there's an expectancy. Why would you believe something like that? We were created to do that because God has spoken something into our hearts and we believe Him beyond what we see. I tell you what, there was times, and we're just getting started now, but there when we were in the building over in Ballardvale, it was little room, and we had the keyboard up front. And, the door in the back that had stairway going down, the door, would make noise when you come in. And I'm up there leading praise and worship, or Shelly's singing, but I'm playing the piano. I'm closing my eyes, but there's like three people out there. The whole first year, there's one person out there. And I'm seeing in the eye of my heart, there's going to come a time when there's a lot more people out there, but it's coming. But I'm looking past what I see, because if I look out there right now, there's one person. And then there's three or four people. I mean, not even, you know, we don't have a huge crowd here, but not even this. This would be a landslide. We would have been going, I mean, seriously, this right here was the church for a year, one person. And then after that, in the second year, it was these four people, and that was it. I mean, not these four people, but that was how much? For 3-4 years, that was it. We had some people back, and we had 6 people in our family. Well, we had 4 when we started, and we had 6 then by 2009 when Julia came. Then we're going to grow the church one way or another. So if we would have had this, this is a landslide. This is like, how many times is that? You know, if we had 4, then that's 100% growth, and that's 200% growth, and that's 300%, 400%. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, almost 500% growth in one service. I mean, this would be like, woo! And then a Sunday, and what we had at the Durant's last week, woo! But it's just a start. There's going to be so much more that this is not going to look like anything. But it's just one step at a time. But what am I saying? You can't look at what you see. If I would have gone by what I saw, we would have shut the thing down. When you have one person. And then how are you going to pay for any of this? I mean, we rented that building with no congregation. It was just us. And we had some money saved in the church account. But it was just what we had. We didn't know that there was going to be anybody that would come. For all we know, we're going to foot that whole entire bill. And we didn't have it, really. I mean, we could have. You know, over the period of time, that whole year, of that whole year rent, we didn't know. But why would we do that? Because we believe God said something. So what you expect, it convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Now look at Hebrews 11. We'll just get going. We got exactly what we're talking about here, because then in Hebrews, you see this over and over and over and over about people that did something and they can't see in the natural, but they believe, so they expect, and it's convincing them of things they cannot see. I just say this again, we can't get past it. We were created to operate like this. If there's one thing that you take away tonight, just go out of here knowing that you were created to walk by faith. Don't complain about it. Don't whine about it. Don't say, God, I wish, where is it? Say, thank God, just embrace it and know that you're not getting out of this as long as you're a Christian and you're on the earth. You're going to have to walk by faith. Somebody say amen. Yeah. You're going to. Somebody needs to hear that. Because it's tempting in this world to be like, oh, do I have to believe again? Why can't I just get to the place where it's just all there? You're never going to get to that place ever. Not even just in this life, because God's a God of faith. He's going to expect you to believe Him. And whatever you look at some people, well, they have it made. They believe and they're that way. We were talking last week, and Brother Hagin said this. He said, we live so close to disaster so much that we almost got used to it. In other words, you're walking on this line where if God doesn't come through, you're sunk. And you believe God, you trust God, and so you're just like, well, he said it, and right there's the cliff. Well, it doesn't get to the place. If you ever get to the place where you think it's all rosy, you're not stepping out and believing him. Because even though you might get to a place that dwarfs where you were previously, he's going to bring you to the next thing. You've believed for this, and you've trusted him, and he's come through, and he'll say, well, what about this? And you're going to have to go, okay, I don't have any reason in the natural to think this, but at your word, I believe it. And I am going to trust you now. The devil will always tell you, not this time. Did you hear me? This is one of his favorite phrases. Well, God came through there, and he came through there, and you saw that. But this time, you're going down. I don't know how many times I've heard that thought. You get to, yeah, whatever you said that last time. But he's good at what he does. And if you looked in the natural, you'd think there might be some truth to that. That's why you have to ignore it. You know what he'll tell you? You've believed God and you've trusted him and he's come through and he's come through again and he's come through again. And then there's something in front of you. You know what the devil will tell you? All those other things, they were just getting you set up for a huge fall this time. You know, you got through this stuff, but now you're really going down. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. He's a liar.
Yes.
What you have to say is, I've been here. Once you've believed God and you've seen it, you have to say, I don't see it, but if you'll think back to the way where you were, the last several times you believed him, you'll realize you didn't see anything then either, and you probably heard similar thoughts. And if you go back and say, yeah, that's what you told me last time, liar, shut up and leave. I'm going on with God. I'm going to believe him because this is what I was created to do. He'll tell you you're going down. And we cannot walk, we can't afford to walk by sight. We can't afford to go by what our flesh is telling us. We can't afford to just walk by what we hear or what somebody else said. We have to go by what God said and stay strong in it, hold fast and say, Lord, you said it, and learn to shut the sensitivity to our flesh. Your flesh will yell at you. Your senses will yell at you, dummy, don't you have enough sense? Don't you see that this is not going to work? God, or the enemy can speak to you through other people where you're talking to them. And this thing comes up out of their mouth, which is exactly the thing the enemy's been trying to get you to believe, and then you talk to somebody and the exact same thing comes out of their mouth. That's not an accident. Now, we don't glorify the devil, but this is how he tries to get us off track and get us to stop believing what the Lord has said. Hallelujah. I believe this is speaking, I mean, it's for us generally, but this is specifically what we're saying right now. You need to get it in your heart that you were created to walk by faith and walk out of here saying, I will attain nothing less. I am made to walk by faith. I am made to believe God. Just know that it's never going to get easier on your flesh because your flesh wants to see and feel. And if it was up to your flesh, it would never do anything that it couldn't see, couldn't rationalize. And if you're going to follow God and walk by faith, you are going to have to get used to just taking him at his word and going after what God has told you and enjoy the ride. Hallelujah. It's so much better over here. It's so much better when you get to their side and say, well, here we go. God, I believe you. I'm trusting you. I'm going to enjoy this day. Do you realize how much of our time, if we're going to always wait till we get to the other side of something, but we're not going to be happy till we get to the other side, how much time we're going to waste in life? There's always something that's not quite right in your life. That's not a bad confession. I mean, just look at, you know, you get the finances in line and then this happens. I'm not saying everything's always wrong. I'm just saying if you wanted to find something to complain about, you could every single day of your life. Couldn't you? And if we just wait, it's the trick of the devil to say, well, I got to wait till I get through this. Then I'm going to rejoice. Then I'm going to be happy. But it's almost like you're biting your nails till the ride's over. Oh, I'm done. Wasn't that a great ride? No, you were scared the whole time. And if we go through life like that, it's not going to be fun. We need to know that we're created to walk in faith after God, and you're going to go through some parts that if you were going by senses, you would throw up your hands and quit. But right in the middle of that thing, you can enjoy it and say, glory to God, look at the view. This is great. And right on the other side is like a cliff. But you're not choosing to look at that. You're saying, thank God, this is awesome. And you know what? All of a sudden you're through it and you enjoyed it. Enjoyed the ride. You didn't enjoy everything about it, but you enjoyed the ride. You got to the other side. And now, instead of wasting that time looking at the wrong thing, being frustrated that and being caught up with your senses, you were looking at what God told you the whole time, and you were enjoying it the whole time, enjoying just His presence, not enjoying necessarily everything you're going through, but because you were looking at the right thing, you were able to enjoy it. We were created for this. We were created to walk by faith, and then we'll be confident of those things, even if we don't see it, even if we can't feel it. We'll be confident and praise God. We'll just enjoy life.